the first reading, wisdom, pointing to what Jesus is talking about, the passion, right? It's pretty obvious. And Jesus mentions the passion to the disciples, and they're not ready to really receive it, to understand it. But you could also say what is said in wisdom and what James says applies in many ways to our culture. Christians are being attacked for their faith in many ways. Evil is being called good. I've heard people even say abortion was a holy thing. Can you imagine? There's an attack on marriage and our over-sexualized culture, and people will say, well, whatever is happening, it's okay. It doesn't really matter. When the science and reason says it does, when you look at the social sciences, it shows it matters. It affects people. It especially affects our youth. Our public discourse is coarse and ugly. There's a lot of name-calling going on. And we are letting our passions run rampant. I think in many ways running our culture and our society rather than reason and wisdom. It's a toxic kind of culture which leads us away from Jesus, away from others. I'm sure you've heard about this opioid crisis. Yet these drugs have been around for a long time. And as a physician, I wonder to myself, why is it all of a sudden a problem? People want to point to doctors and hospitals and, you know, various reasons. But maybe it's because our culture is toxic. It's difficult to live in many ways because we let passions run rampant. And because we have become so self-centered, we are fast in many ways becoming more like pagan Rome, the very culture that Christians changed. This small band of faithful Christians transformed the Roman Empire. But we seem to be regressing towards it. And as James says, there's wars and battles, and how many battles are going on? Certainly not necessarily in terms of shooting and swords and everything, but even that happens. The violence that's happening more and more often. Even the disciples weren't immune to the passions because they're talking about who's the greatest, looking for status, prestige, worldly things, not godly things. But notice Jesus doesn't scold them, jump on them for doing that. He instead instructs them in terms of what true greatness is in the kingdom. If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. In other words, following Jesus and being great in the kingdom means putting others first. Not fame, not fortune, not popularity, power, worldly success. And many of those people who get that, they attack Christians. We are meant to love and serve others, to try to transform our culture, to help others, to reach out to those who are weak and in need, the widows, the poor, and especially children. And we are supposed to be like children, not childish, but be like children in the sense of looking to our Father, our Heavenly Father, for guidance, for truth, for His care, and seeking His care. We are to love others as Christ loved us. And in the Catechism, to become a child in relation to God is the condition for entering the kingdom. Jesus said we must. It's not really an option to become childlike. For this, we must humble ourselves and become little. Even more, to become children of God, we must be born from above or born of God, letting God change us and transform us. We have been made sharers in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Words that are said when the water is added to the chalice. And again, in the Catechism, Jesus asks for childlike abandonment to the providence of our Heavenly Father. And as he says, it's when you serve and care for this child, you're doing it for the Father. And he knows what we need. We need to trust him. We need to be self-giving, not self-getting, which is what much of our culture is about today. And we need to serve without expecting a reward. The trouble with most of us, we want tit for tat. We serve somebody, we expect something in return. But if we do all our service for Jesus, then we know we will get a reward in heaven. And if we think that way, and it's not easy, but each day, think in terms of, I am doing this for Jesus. You will be happier, you will bless others, you will be blessed. We have great examples in terms of our saints. Father and I were talking about St. Teresa of Calcutta. Small, frail, humble nun who witnessed to the world in ways that are just amazing. And I highly recommend, read her story, Come Be My Light. She inspired the world with her sacrifice and service to the poor. And when we think of all the negative things and the difficulties going on in the church, remember the saints. Be encouraged by the saints like St. Teresa of Calcutta, the wonderful saints in our lifetime, St. John Paul. And you know, we could look at our lives and the life of a Christian is similar to the Eucharist. Most of us may not have much power, riches, wealth, affect the world like St. Teresa or like presidents or famous people. Because when you look at the Eucharist, it's just a little wafer. It seems totally insignificant. But underneath, we know Jesus is there. And for us Christians, Jesus is with us. He wants us to transform this culture. And he gives us the grace to do it. Look how the world was transformed by Christians. Towering cathedrals that are a witness because people wanted to honor God. Art, music, the martyrdom of people before Jesus. The building of hospitals to care for the sick. The reaching out to the poor like no other group did throughout history. Schools for the poor. That's because of the grace that comes from Jesus, from the Eucharist, that affects us interiorly, even though outside we may not look like much. We are children of God. That's the way of wisdom. That's what James is talking about. That's what wisdom talks about for us to do. And what's important for us to do that is not only to receive the Eucharist, but to have a real relationship with God. Because that brings peace to us, a peace that this world sadly needs. And it helps us to think clearly, to analyze what's going on around us. Many things that seem so crazy. It gives us prudence and wisdom, how we should respond, how we should act. And when James says you do not possess because you do not ask, it's because we don't ask with the will of the Father. And so when you pray, you can ask for anything, but always end your prayer with God's will. Just like Jesus on the cross said, is there another way? Your will, not mine, Father. So, are you determined to live the way of wisdom or the way of the passions in our world? Who will you put first today? Others or yourself? That's a decision we need to make every day when we wake up. But because we know we are loved by him, we know that we have grace that comes from the sacraments and the Eucharist, we can always return to him when we fail. We have a purpose. We are here to build God's kingdom, to change our culture, not be changed by it. when we attend Mass and participate in the sacraments, that reminds us of our true calling and the path before us. We receive the strength to go on and transform the world. So as you come to receive Jesus, let us remember the Lord upholds our life, and He is the source of all true wisdom.